Open them up to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. This morning we'll be in verses 4 through 12. Henry Blackaby, how many of you are familiar with Henry Blackaby? Henry Blackaby once said this, and the quote's on the screen here for you. He said this: you cannot stay where you are and go with God. You can't continue to do things your way and accomplish God's purpose in His ways. Your thinking cannot come close to God's thoughts. For you to do the will of God, you must adjust your life to Him, His purposes, and His ways. Church family, you cannot stay where you are and go with God at the same time. That's true collectively for us as a church. And that's true for you as an individual, as a believer in Christ. As a church, we cannot go where God wants us to go and stay where we are at the same time. As an individual, you cannot go where God wants you to go. In other words, you can't do what God wants you to do and stay where you are at the same time. Accomplishing God's will requires movement. It requires change. It requires initiative. It takes work to accomplish God's will. And really, it's God accomplishing His work through you, but He uses you to do it. Do you see that? As an individual, you cannot do what God wants you to do and go where God wants you to go and stay in the same place at the same time. For some of you, it may be that God is calling you into something special. Maybe He's calling you to participate in a ministry or start a ministry, or maybe even leave a ministry. Maybe God's asking you to lead your family in a different way, to lead your family in a godly way. Maybe He's asking you to trust Him with your future. Maybe He's asking you to trust Him with your job. Maybe He's asking you to trust Him with your finances, with your relationships. Maybe He's asking you to take a gigantic step of faith and do something that you aren't quite sure you can do. Well, it goes without saying, you can't do those things and stay where you are at the same time. You have to adjust your plans to His plans. Last week we looked at the sacrifice of ascending church, and we looked particularly at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. We saw that sending church had to sacrifice. Two of their best men had to give them up, to let them go in order for them to accomplish God's plans. Today I want you to consider Henry Blackaby's statement. I want you to take that statement to heart, that you cannot stay where you are and go with God. And today I want to show you from God's word three requirements for accomplishing God's will in your life. Three requirements for accomplishing God's will in your life. With your Bible in hand, let me ask you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's word. Bible in hand, hearts open to the Lord. We're going to read Acts 13, 1 through 12, but we're going to focus on 4 through 12 for the sermon. But for context, we're going to begin in verse 1. Acts 13 says this: now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Arriving in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They also had John as their assistant. When they had traveled the whole island as far as Paphos, they came across a sorcerer, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God, but Elymas, the sorcerer, that's the meaning of his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at Elymas and said, "You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil, an enemy of all that is right. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Now look, the Lord's hand is against you. You are going to be blind and will not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then, when he saw what happened, the proconsul believed because he was astonished at the teaching of the word. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the day. Lord, we do pray that you would move in a mighty way here in our midst this morning. Pray, Father, you would equip us to do what you've called us to do, to follow your plans, to adjust our plans to your plans, so that you can accomplish your will through us as individuals and through us collectively as the body known as First Baptist Church Moberly. Help us, Lord. Help us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Three requirements for accomplishing God's will in your life. If you are going to do what God wants you to do, it will require, first of all, commitment to the Lord to follow his plans. If you're going to do what the Lord wants you to do, it will take great commitment. And you want to know why commitment is so hard? You want to know why so many people avoid commitment? It's because commitment requires hard work. Commitment to anything requires a lot of work. Think about your marriage for a moment. In marriage, it takes commitment. And that commitment requires you to work. Think about your career. Your career takes commitment. And that commitment requires you to work hard. Anything in life worth doing, my friends, anything in life worth doing is going to require great commitment. And yet, for some reason, we have bought into the lie that we can show up on Sundays between 10:45 and noon and have church and satisfy our commitment to the Lord. Listen, we come here to worship. We come here to gather under the word. We come here to fellowship with one another, but we don't take our Christian hat off when we leave. We don't hang our Christian hat at the door and then walk out the door. In fact, when you leave this building, you are going into your mission field. And that requires great, great commitment. There was a study done of 157 children. This was a lengthy study. These 157 children wanted to learn how to play a musical instrument. And so this researcher tracked them over time. Some of them turned out to be really great. Some of them were just kind of like, they were good for a few years. Some of them weren't even, some of them were like me. And a few of them didn't even get started. And what he wanted to know was what made those great ones great? Like what made those kids who grew up to be great musicians, what made them great? Do you want to know what the best predictor of their greatness was? It wasn't their IQ. It wasn't their ability to define notes. You want to know what it was? He asked them one question, all 157 children. He asked them this: how long do you think you'll play your instrument? And some of them said, well, for a little bit. And those are the ones that were no good, that couldn't play their instrument. Some said, oh, I want to play for a few years, and they were okay. But those who said this, those who said something like this, I want to be a musician, I'm going to play this instrument for the rest of my life, those were the kids who became great at playing the instrument. Hey, let me remind you, it is easy to follow Jesus on Sundays. It is easy to come into this place on Sundays. We can shout amen and raise our hands high from 10:45 until noon. It's easy to follow Jesus when things are going good, right? It's easy to follow Jesus when things are easy. But when opposition comes, when following Jesus becomes challenging, when things don't turn out your way, well, it becomes easy to walk away. But hear me, when you determine in your heart that you are fully committed to following the Lord's plans, you know what you become? Two words: world changers. When you are committed to following the Lord's plans, regardless of what happens, you become world changers. Let's look at a few world changers. Verse 4 in your Bible. It says this: so being sent out by who? The Holy Spirit. Being sent out by who? The Holy Spirit. All say it together. Being sent out by who? They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Do you want to know what's missing between verse 3 and 4? You want to know what's missing, what's not there? God never once gives them a roadmap for their journey. He never once gives them a roadmap. He doesn't tell them the things that are going to go wrong on their journey. He's not going to give you a roadmap. He's not going to tell you all the things that are going to go wrong. He's not going to tell you how difficult following him will be. He's not going to tell you how much the journey will cost, both figuratively and literally. He didn't give you those plans. Instead, you want to know what the Lord says? Go. And trust me along the way. Just trust me and go. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia and they sailed to Cyprus. Arriving in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And you say, what does that mean? They proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. It means that they told people who Jesus was, what Jesus did, and why it matters. They proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue. That's why they were there. That's why they left. That's why they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Listen, whatever you do for a living, understand this. You are there with a great purpose. Whatever it is that you do for a living, Monday through Friday, whatever it is that you do, you were there for a great purpose. And your purpose is to serve the King of Kings. I heard this weekend and it stuck with me. A job is what you're paid to do, but a calling is what you're meant to do. And while you're at your job, while you're at your school, while you're doing your Monday through Friday, you may be at your job, but you were made for something more. You were made to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what you do. You were made to be a light for the lost and to be an encouragement to the church. You were made to follow Jesus wherever he leads. The mission team from Antioch, they had commitment. Secondly, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you've got to have courage. Courage from the Lord to follow his plans. Hey, real quick, you want to know where commitment goes to die? Commitment goes to die on the rough road of life. I mentioned it earlier, it's worth repeating. It's easy to be committed when things are going your way. It's easy to be committed when things are easy. It's easy to be committed when the giant is slayed before you ever get there. But it takes a different level of commitment when God gives you five stones and you're staring the giant in your eye. You're staring the giant in his eye, rather. It takes a great deal of commitment to trust the Lord when things get difficult. And I can promise you this, if you are going to follow the Lord, it will get difficult, and you will need courage from him to accomplish his plans. Look at what happens here. Paul and Barnabas are about to face their first instance of opposition on the mission trip. And I want you to see the courage that these men had. Verse 6 in your Bibles. When they had traveled the whole island as far as Paphos, they came across a sorcerer, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God. So you've got two people, right? Let's just put this story together. You've got two people. One has been identified as a lying false prophet, Bar-Jesus. Do you know what that literally means? Bar-Jesus, son of salvation. He is a lying false prophet who is saying that he is a son of salvation, but he's anything but. And then you've got the proconsul. A proconsul is kind of like a governor. So he was the Roman governor of the island of Cyprus. His name was Sergius Paulus. He was kind of a big deal. And Sergius Paulus hears about this Saul and Barnabas, hears about their word, hears about their Jesus, and he wants to hear more. So they invited him to share. Paul and Barnabas, do you understand this? Paul and Barnabas were invited into the governor's house to share about who Jesus was, what Jesus did, and why it matters. And they jumped at the chance, and now comes the opposition. Look in your Bible. Verse 8. Before we dive in, know this, that Elymas and Bar-Jesus, one person, two names. Same guy. Elymas and Bar-Jesus are the same man. Verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, that's the meaning of his name, sorcerer and Elymas, that's the meaning. He opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Can you see the story? Paul and Barnabas are with Christ, are sharing Christ with the proconsul. And this wicked, lying, evil man named Elymas. He was trying to turn the proconsul away from the faith. That's evil. And do you see in verse 8 where it says he, quote, opposed them? That's what my translation says. He opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. The word for to turn away from, that word to turn away, it means to mislead or deceive. So in essence, Elymas was going to the proconsul and saying things like, you don't really believe about this Jesus. You don't really believe that he really rose from the dead, do you? You don't really believe in this goofy fairy tale, do you? He was trying to turn him away. And look at the courage from Paul, the courage required here to say what Paul said. Verse 9. But Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the courage, by the way. That's where courage comes from, the Lord. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at Elymas and said, you are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery, you son of the devil, an enemy of all that is right. Won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Oh boy, that was bold. That took some courage to call out the wicked, evil Elymas. Elymas was doing his best to stop the Lord from moving. Hey, you can fight a lot of battles in your life, but can I recommend that you don't ever fight God? Because you will never win that battle. He is undefeated, and he's been at this for a long, long time. Elymas tries his best to stop God from moving, and you would be foolish to think, oh, that doesn't happen today. These kind of things don't happen today. I'm telling you, it does. Opposition to God and his gospel have been happening in our world ever since that slithering serpent slithered his way into the Garden of Eden. It has happened ever since then. It will happen to us. Listen, you start following Jesus, and you start doing what he says, and you will find yourselves in an all-out war. Paul and Barnabas are trying to lead the proconsul to faith in Christ, telling him how he can become a child of God. And Elymas, not son of salvation, but instead, according to verse 10, he's a son of the devil, is trying to stop them. John MacArthur's quote, John MacArthur said this. He said, leading someone to Christ is not merely an academic exercise, nor is it making a successful sales pitch, but rather, leading someone to Christ involves an all-out war against the forces of hell. Listen to me. If you're going to follow God and go where he calls you to go and do what he calls you to do, and you better believe that all-out war is headed your way. Spiritual warfare is legit, but know this. You know this verse. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that lives within us. Finish it for me. Greater is he that lives in us than who? Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And though I am no match for Satan, my God has already defeated him. And my role is to exercise commitment from the Lord, encourage commitment to the Lord, encourage from the Lord to go where he says to go and do what he says to do. And my Lord, my God, will fight for me. Our choir sang about that a few minutes ago. And you can see the example of it here in verse 11. It was God who fought for Paul and Barnabas. Look at verse 11. Paul is still speaking and he says, now look, whose hand is against you? What does it say, verse 11? The Lord's hand is against you. You are going to be blind, and you will not see the sun for a time. And immediately, a mist and darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Immediately, the mist and the darkness fell on him, and he was blind. And he was just asking someone to lead him by the hand. That took courage from Paul. And he got that courage from the Lord. If you're going to do what God wants you to do, it will take commitment to the Lord to follow his plans, courage from the Lord to follow his plans. And lastly, it will take confidence that the Lord will accomplish his plans. Listen, if you are following the Lord's plans, you better believe he's going to get the job done. I love this part of the story. Elam has tried his best to stop the work of God, and he failed miserably. Not only was he blind and looking for someone to lead him around by the hand, but look at what happens to Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, in verse 12. Look in your Bibles, verse 12. Then when he being Sergius Paulus, saw what happened, the proconsul believed, because he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Question, and this is a tricky question. Question, what astonished the proconsul? The teaching of the Lord. Do you see that in verse 12? He was astonished by the teaching of the Lord. Hear me. This book that you hold in your hand is astonishing, mesmerizing, amazing. This little book that you hold in your hand is incredible. Hebrews 4:12, you know this verse well. For the word of God is what? Living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. This, according to Hebrews 4:12, is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is living and active. And God uses His word to expose our deepest thoughts, our deepest intentions. His word is astonishing, and you have it. Like we all, raise your hand up. Hold your Bible up high. Even if it's on your phone, hold your Bible up high. You have God's word. You have it. And He has called you to give it away. Yes, sir. He's called you to give it away. And when you do that, when you give God's word away, meaning that when you show others who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters, and when you tell others who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters, when you give God's word away, miraculously it multiplies. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 says this, "For just as rain and snow fall from heaven." Time out. I wish it wouldn't snow this week. I'm a little tired of the snow, amen? Okay, back to the word. "For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do." Hear me, brothers and sisters. You can have confidence in the Word of God. And you can have confidence in the God of the Word. He is good and faithful. And He is wooing you into something. Like He's calling you into something. He's asking you to do something for Him. The question is, what will you say? If you say yes, if you do what God wants you to do, it's going to take work. It's going to take initiative. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take commitment to the Lord to follow His plans, courage from the Lord to follow His plans, and confidence that the Lord will accomplish His plans. No halfway commitment will do. Halfway commitments will not give you courage. Halfway commitments will not give you confidence. Hear me, God does not want your halfway. He wants your whole commitment. Let me end with a story. A Haitian pastor shared this. He said there was a man in his community that wanted to sell a home. And he had it listed for $2,000. And another man in the community wanted to buy the home. But he couldn't come up with $2,000. And so they haggled back and forth and haggled back and forth. And finally, the owner of the home sold it to him and agreed to sell it to him for half the price, which is $1,000. The only thing that the homeowner required was that the new homeowner would make sure that little nail, there was a little nail in the door, that little nail had to remain with the original homeowner. He could have the rest of the house, but that little nail above the door, that stayed with the original homeowner. So the guy buying the home agreed to it. A couple years go by, and the original homeowner wanted to buy the home back. And the new homeowner said, "No way, this is my house." Refused to sell it to him. And so the original homeowner went out and found the carcass of a dead animal. And he hung it on the nail And he kept doing that day after day, week after week. He would hang the carcass of a dead animal on the nail right in the doorway as you entered the home, until eventually the house became unlivable and the guy living there agreed to sell it to him. And here was the Haitian pastor's conclusion. If we leave the devil with even one small nail in our life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it. Listen, the Lord does not, he does not want your halfway commitment. He does not want your 90% commitment. He does not want your 99.9% commitment. He wants your yes. He wants you to follow him with reckless abandon and do whatever he has called you to do. He wants all of it, including the nail. All of your commitment. So here's the question. What's the Lord asking you to do as an individual? You might be here today and you might be more like Elamus, like you're trying to fight God. Can I encourage you? Two words, stop it. You aren't going to win. You won't win if you fight against him. You might be like the proconsul, and you need to give your life to the Lord, and you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read to you Romans 10, 9 through 13. It says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Listen, if you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you today to be like the proconsul and believe. You might be here today and you need to be baptized. I pray that you would. You might need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I pray that you would. You might need to walk in faith to accomplish what God is calling you to do. I pray that you would. And can I just encourage you with two simple words? Trust him. He's not going to let you down. It might get difficult. You might find opposition. You will find opposition. But trust in the Lord and give him your full commitment, even the nail. Give him all you got. Listen, he's already proven how much he can do with a few nails. Give him all you got with whatever it is he's calling you to do. Surrender and say yes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for who you are and for what you've done and what you will do. Father, we pray. I pray right now if there's someone in the room who needs to know you, that you would help them to repent and help them to turn to you and be saved. I pray, Father, for those of you, for those in the room who need to step out in faith and do whatever it is you've called them to do, I pray you would give them the courage to do that. And Father, though we don't know what that roadmap looks like, we trust you along the way. Help us to trust you. And when our trust begins to wane, would you just increase our trust all the more? Accomplish your will in these moments. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,